Thank you, Jerry, and thank you especially to Jim, Jerry, and Ray for inviting us here today to be part of your congregation. It really is an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you. So today I'm going to touch a little bit on the transportation system in Wisconsin, you know, and what we need to do to make it better for everybody. So I'll start off a little bit by saying who we are. I work for an organization called 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin, and we started about 20 years ago as a group that came around the creation of the state's Smart Growth Law. The Smart Growth Law came into existence, and today over 90% of all communities in the state actually have some kind of smart growth planning in their communities. And so since then, our mission has somewhat evolved, and we're focusing a lot more on, you know, tackling more complex problems, specifically climate change and all the other things that go into building healthy communities in Wisconsin. And when it comes to building healthy communities, we've really come to realize that transportation and having adequate, clean transportation is the cornerstone of what makes a community healthy. And so at 1,000 Friends, what we try to do is make the connections between all of the different things that go into building healthy communities, and transportation is just a key part of it. So what makes a good transportation system? I like to summarize it with these five different words. It should be reliable. You should be able to, you know that your bus or any other mode of transportation is going to be coming within a certain amount of time. It's safe. You shouldn't have to be risking your life every time you get on the transportation system to go to work or to do other things. It should be efficient. You really don't want to be spending 2 hours a day trying to get back and forth from whichever destination that you want to go to. It should be clean. It shouldn't be polluting, whether that's particulate matter emissions or carbon emissions that are contributing to global climate change. And it should be inclusive. That means that everybody in the community should be able to access it and be able to use the transportation system regardless of where you live or what your skin color is or what your gender is. And so I just want to show you a few slides of what our transportation system in Wisconsin is really like today. This is a photo of that one of our members took of someone in Appleton, Wisconsin. This is a high-speed county highway, and this person in a wheelchair is, you know, there's no footpaths, there's no sidewalks, and this person is being forced to use their wheelchair to presumably go and get some food on the other side of a really busy intersection. And so this is someone who's putting their life in danger to get, you know, the very basic necessity for life. We also have a crisis in terms of how our transportation system is performing in terms of the roads. So this map that you can see here is the red roads are all the roads that have been classified as poor or worse by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And I'm sure this is a familiar figure to most of you. Roads are local roads in Wisconsin are crumbling, and there are lots of potholes. And in some places like Milwaukee, nearly one in two local roads are in terrible shape. On the other hand, our state highways are doing pretty well. Just 2.4% of our state highways are rated poorly. But when you look at the crisis of our roads, it's really our local roads that are in really bad shape. And then I also wanted to show you, you know, how our transportation decision-making has affected our cities. So this is Milwaukee in 1953. If you take a look, you can see, you know, that these are houses that are really closely knit by a grid structure. The river kind of goes through the center of town, and you know, people can probably walk across from their house to their neighbor's house, and it just seems like a community where you wouldn't necessarily need a car to access a whole bunch of destinations. And this is Milwaukee today, and if you can see, you know, the highways have taken over a majority of what was downtown. All of these are now converted into parking lots, so which doesn't really contribute a whole lot to city life or to making sure that the taxes are being paid to the city, or in general, just it's not something that makes for a vibrant place to live. And you can just see the big difference between 1953 and in 2014. Just a half a century of how we prioritize our transportation has really changed the way our cities look and feel. This goes back to something that Ray and Jim were talking about in terms of how our transportation systems have segregated people. So the blue, these are all dots. I don't know if you can see that. Each of these colors are made of individual dots. The blue is all made of, the blue dots represent white people. The green dots represent African Americans. And the orange dot represent Latino people. And the red dots represent Asians. And you can see in Milwaukee and in southeastern Wisconsin how much we are segregated. The inner city, I think it was Jim who was Jerry who was mentioning that most of African American people live in the inner city, and white people live in the suburbs around. And you know, there's just a very, very clear segregation, and often that segregation has been done by transportation lines, whether it's a railway line or a highway. And then I just wanted to show you also where people can get to. So if you look at the map on the right, the darker the purple areas are, that's where most of the jobs are outside of the city of Milwaukee. So these are all, you know, the Germantown, Mequon, Oconomowoc, all of these places are where most of the new jobs have been created. But where the people who live in Milwaukee, North and South Wilcox, there's a huge pool of talent, people who need jobs and are qualified for the jobs, but just have no way of accessing all of these different jobs. The green that you see here is where the bus lines go to, and you can see that none of the bus lines extend to where the big jobs are. And on the left, you can see is a sign that says, attention, this is no longer a bus stop. And these signs have popped up all across Wisconsin in the last 10, 15 years, where steady cuts to public transit have left cities with no access, with cities struggling to maintain and keep their bus lines open for existing residents. So why has this been happening? Why isn't our transportation system working for everyone? And the answer really is how we have chosen to prioritize our transportation systems. So if you look at these at this graph here, between 2000 and 2015, you can see how much money we've spent on public transportation, about $100 million a year. And while this may sound like a lot, it's really a small drop in the bucket in terms of how much we spend totally on public transportation. And this is how much we spend on maintaining local roads. And both these lines, what they have in common is that they've sort of remained about the same or kind of declined over the last 15 years. But on the other hand, if you look at how much we've been spending on new highway construction, you can see that there's been a 45% increase on new highway construction between 2000 and 2015. And at the same time, we have debt service, that is the amount of money that we're repaying we've taken on to build these highways, repaying, going up and up and up by 2015, and this line is continuing to go up further. And so what this really shows is that all of our transportation priorities outside of highways have really come at the expense of new highway construction. And so instead of, you know, making sure that we have a balanced transportation system, we have an unbalanced transportation system that favors major highway construction over every other mode of transportation, whether it's public transportation or sidewalks, walking and biking facilities, or even our local roads and sidewalks in front of our houses. So these are the main takeaways that we've, as Thousand Friends and our other partner groups, have found. Jerry was mentioning the Sierra Club, Wisdom, and WISPRG, the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Groups. We've been working on our transportation campaigns for the last few years, and we've found that these are the three main takeaways that we have: unnecessary highway expansion, shortchanging local communities. And we decided that what we need to do is really fix what we have first before we build anything new. And then I know there's been a lot of talk about raising more money, but unless we make sure that money is going to the things that really need it, we shouldn't be asking Wisconsin taxpayers to pay more when they don't really see the benefits of that money coming back to their communities. So in the last couple of years, the campaign that Jerry was mentioning, we've taken it all across the state, and we've spoken to a whole bunch of people across the state, and we've been really getting a lot of press, and people have been talking much more about transportation. And these are just some of the headlines that we've seen over the last couple of years, where there were mentions of Wisconsin in like major national publications like Politico, and just a whole bunch of talk about what needs to be done to fix our transportation systems. And we have made a lot of progress. You know, the Department of Transportation Secretary said we need to be building fewer roads, and we need to be focusing on fixing and maintaining what we have. These are some more headlines, as you can see. A couple of major highway expansions that would have cut through people's farms and destroyed livelihoods and businesses were actually scrapped, and some of the savings were then used to invest in local fixing local roads and other local transportation priorities. But while this is good progress, this is nowhere near where we need to be in order to build a fully inclusive public transportation system that works for everybody. And so these are just some barriers that we face. So for example, I'm sure many of you know that, you know, you cannot get to a doctor's appointment or a health or a restaurant or a job in a neighboring county just because your county's bus system does not go into the next county. And so what we really need to do is allow communities to come together and make transportation decisions sort of on a regional basis. So different cities and villages and towns kind of talking to each other and seeing, okay, here's where our jobs are, here's where our healthcare is, here's where our schools are. How do we get all the people who need to go to these places, regardless of political boundaries, to and from these places? And then communities should also be able to raise money to fund their own infrastructure. So today, the state legislature does not allow communities to come together and tax themselves, whether it's a sales tax or a property tax, and put that money into transportation. That's banned by the legislature. So that's something that really needs to change. And we also need more coordination between communities to make sure that we're not being redundant and that our systems are being as efficient as possible. And so one solution that we can see moving forward for this is what's called regional transportation authorities. And this will really allow local governments like municipalities or counties to come together, coordinate, and raise money for transportation. And they can also be the entity through which we can get money from the federal government or the state government to invest in new bus rapid transit lines or light rail systems or new train systems. That really connect people on a regional basis and make sure that all of the opportunities available in the state are available to communities across the state. And I just want to end with a couple of places that have actually done this. So these are places in the Midwest. They have a much more inclusive transportation system that works for everybody. So it is possible for this to be done. This is in Cleveland. The Cleveland RTA generates about $280 million each year through a sales tax. It has what's called a bus rapid transit system that connects its major health centers, which is also one of its major employers, and almost serves 200,000 passengers a day. And it has a bunch of different modes. It has buses, it has rail systems, and it also uses some of the money to fix its roads. In Minneapolis, the Metropolitan Council serves seven counties, and in just the last 10 years, they've built a beautiful light rail system, which have really transformed neighborhoods and gotten people who had very little opportunity to be able to get to jobs and all kinds of other destinations today are able to achieve that. The light rail system is being ridden day and night, and it's really changed the face of the Twin Cities. And now it's serving as a place where a lot of different people are trying to move there. And we know in Wisconsin we are losing a lot of good people to places like the Twin Cities and other places that have opportunities for people to get by without a car. And so that is pretty much what I wanted to cover. And wanted to leave you on the note that, you know, this is not something that we cannot do in Wisconsin. It has been done in the Midwest, and this is something we all need to be working towards in the next couple of years, where, you know, we can really have an opportunity to build a transportation system that works for everybody in the state of Wisconsin.